B-Pod Studios.
It's the Mike Mussinelli Show in the 3 o'clock hour. And the 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corpolis Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit is good. I think I neglected to tell the people who we were brought to by in the 2 o'clock hour. Did I? First in HVAC line, Conklin?
Oh, you can say it again, but you did say it.
I did say it?
Yes, you did.
All right, well, thanks to Ferguson HVAC line, Conklin, for sponsoring the 2 o'clock hour. The 4 o'clock hour, it will start off with the actual keyword giveaway. Brian Westbrook will join us, and at 4:10, Charles Barkley will join Brian Westbrook on the show. So we'll have like a kind of a mini roundtable discussion on various issues.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Including who Charles is going to bet on. Big football handicap type of cat.
Yeah, now he bets heavy too.
What's up, Mr. F. Kings? Cracks me up, that commercial. Dr. F. Kings. All right, here's what I also wanted to do here. There was a story in the paper today about casting your vote on which Eagles should stay or go. So when you call in this hour, I'm gonna give you a player. Stay or go. All right?
Yeah.
Now, let me give you one. Trayvon Hester. Stay or go?
You know what? I'll say stay.
You're going to stay because he had the big block?
No.
Yeah?
Mainly because he's a young guy. He doesn't cost a lot of money. And with the defensive lineman that you're getting rid of, keep a guy, and maybe you can develop into him into Bo Allen. So I say stay for that reason.
All right. Let's go Don in Delaware. Don, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Don. Yo, Don.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? I'm sorry. It's John.
John. What's up, John?
Hey, buddy. Hey, big fan going back to your Steve and Mike days. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, man.
You got a great thing going there on TV. I work every day, but I tape you, and I come home every night, and I watch you.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Drives my wife crazy, but... Hey, I hunt pheasant, you know, and I got to tell you, I never knew those feathers were so valuable. I'll have to collect some for you.
Yeah, well, apparently they are now.
Getting my Phillies point, Mike, talk me down from the bridge. Why are we messing around with this? I mean, I put the internet on every day praying I see a done deal. If I'm the Phillies, why are they not just going to Machado, 8 years, 35 a year, 280, don't play around with it. Just get it done. Get it over with. They're trying to save a couple bucks, seeing that they can lowball them. Next thing you know, the Yankees will jump in and give him like a 1 year, $40 million, and he'll go back into the mix next
year. Yeah, listen, they have a better read on this situation than I do, but I agree with you. I think that they don't want, they're reluctant to bid against themselves. You know, we were talking to Jason Stark, and he kind of verified that. But at this point, who cares that you're bidding against yourself? Just put a number on the board that's going to sign one of these guys, because you can't risk losing them.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, they're going to have to give Harper, I don't know, 10 years, 380, if he turned down 10 and 300. So you can, 250, 260, you'll get it done with Machado. I tell you, I don't know. I guess they're afraid of being like back when what's his name signed with Texas for $250. They were bidding against themselves back then.
Yeah,
but who cares?
Well, like, they're the ones that put the wheels in motion for this. They said they had stupid money. They're the ones that zeroed in on both these players. You can't do that and then all of a sudden come out empty. You know what that does to your fan base and your marketing?
Do they realize that? Give us a reason to watch this team this summer. Give us a reason.
Okay? I agree. John, I totally agree with you, man. Totally agree. They must know they're not going to lose one of them, right? I'll defer to them. They have the knowledge. They must know for certain that they're not going to lose one of them, that they're going to get one of them. So if that's the case, then I'm an idiot. I'm just saying that to be safe for me, go out and put $350 on the board for 10 years for either one of them. I don't really care, but I prefer Harper, but I don't really care.
I wonder now. People, I think, are starting to think it's Harper. Will people be disappointed if it's quote-unquote only Machado? Because I think fans now think it's Harper.
No, either one's fine. Either one's fine for me. You're going to have to make more moves, I think, if you... If you sign Machado, you're going to have to rearrange more things than if you just sign Harper.
Yeah.
So, all right. But I'll take either one. It doesn't matter to me. Wayne in North Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Wayne.
Hello, Mike.
What's up, Wayne?
Hello, Natalie.
How you doing?
I have two comments and one question for Mike and Tyrone.
Mm-hmm.
My first comment is, I've been listening to the radio lately, the Sixers game, and even though Mike pointed out that the perimeter defense is lacking, last night was unbelievable.
Last night was good. Last night was very good.
Every shot that Indiana took from the three-point line was contested.
Yes.
So that's a big up for the team. As far as Ben Simmons go, I think if Ben, I hope he learns that he can't go 100 miles an hour every time he gets the ball. He has to, back up or slow down and penetrate or whatever he does.
That's fair, because he turns the ball over when he goes 100 miles an hour sometimes.
And
you're right.
My question for Mike and Tyrone, one, how much under the cap are the Sixers, money-wise? And two, who would you select as a buyout player? I'll listen. Thank you.
All right. I don't know who the buyout players are going to be, first of all. But the Sixers' cap situation is not that good right now.
Not this minute. No, they're at the cap.
Not this minute.
But they can create max level space in the offseason. Buyout player, the person I have most in mind right now is I think the Knicks are going to buy out Courtney Lee.
And you like Courtney. You've been talking about Courtney Lee for a while now.
Yeah, because he has money left next year, but apparently they're working on a buyout because he's a veteran player, 30-plus. So this is short-term, like a Bellinelli, but he shoots 40% from three, and he can D up, and he's a veteran. He's a professional. Mike, you talk about guys who you can rely on every night. He can come in, he can guard a couple positions, and he can make an open three. He's a guy I would like, assuming the Knicks buy him out, and that's what I'm hearing, but you never know with the Knicks.
He's a better player than Corey Brewer, Courtney Lee.
Yes, because he can shoot better. Yeah.
Yeah. So that upgrades that, and that would leave Corey Brewer out the door. But if you're up, the point is to upgrade what you have now.
Yeah.
And that would upgrade. Ted in Fishtown. Ted, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Ted.
Mikey Mess, good day to you, sir.
What's up, Ted? How you doing?
I'm a little low for words right now. I got home and I got a citation from the city for not recycling. And what baffles me, they didn't even pick up my trash yet. And I do recycle. So I don't know if it's a money grab or what, but $50.
Did you try to recycle something that isn't recyclable?
No, I did not. Well, here's the thing. We get a lot of squirrels and raccoons and stuff. So we got the heavy-duty trash cans with the lids. You can't get them off. So I don't know if they would have to pry them off and go through our bags and stuff.
Yeah.
But I just think it's a money grab.
That city trash collection is a different animal, so I have no frame of reference for it. And Natalie, you have that city reference, right, for the trash collection?
Yeah, and I have a really funny story about the trash collection,
really?
Something that happened to me a couple weeks ago.
It's funny. I was watching.
I think the guys are great. I mean, they're, everything's always removed. No problems, but... That's another story.
One of them knocked on my door to yell at me. The trash collector.
For doing what? Not putting out the proper...
He said I didn't stack the boxes correctly.
Well,
he knocked on my door. I didn't know. I wouldn't have done it on purpose. I didn't know trash collectors knocked on doors to give lessons.
Yeah,
what baffles me is they didn't even collect the trash yet.
Well, I can't tell you, man. I would have to have more information before I can give you any kind of comment on it.
Okay. I'll send you an email.
Okay. All right.
But real quick, everybody's not complaining about Simmons and McConnell. If I'm correct, don't they leave the team in field goal percentage? Both of them?
Leave the team in what?
Field goal percentage.
Who's this now?
Simmons and McConnell. One and two.
Well, yeah, Simmons is not a shooter, and McConnell isn't either. So, I mean, the T.J. McConnell field goal percentage means nothing, really, because he's not a scorer.
Well, it's still a nice stat to have.
Not really.
And also,
it's really kind of a meaningless stat, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And you guys been talking a lot of TV lately, and which makes me it is. I'm super hyped about the Super Bowl, because during the Super Bowl, they're going to have Season 8 Game of Thrones trailer on it. So,
yeah, I'm out on Game of Thrones. I don't know what that's about. I didn't get into it. It's not my style. Going back in time.
I tried to watch the first season. It's just very, it's very gory for me. I was out when
it's gory.
Were like...
Yeah, the gory thing doesn't bother me. But going back in time, I can do Braveheart. I could do the Gladiator. I don't need a TV series taking me back.
It's so complicated, too. There's all these names.
Yeah, but people are really into it. I can't, you know, if you're into it, God bless you. It just doesn't, that time period taking me back doesn't really interest me that much.
They like chopped off the one guy's head and then the guy made him drink the guy's blood of the head who got chopped off. And that was when I was like, I'm out.
Whoa.
He did.
Well, in Sopranos, they chopped off Ralphie's head and put it in a bowling bag.
So. That's not as bad.
Well, it's not that.
It's not pleasant.
Put it in a bowling bag. It's not.
He didn't make somebody else drink the guy's blood.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that. All right, the Sixers salary cap right now, they're at 105, 145, 438. The salary cap in the NBA right now, I believe, is 109. Right? So they're like $4 million under the salary cap.
Yeah.
So that's nothing. They're almost capped out.
Yeah, but they'll be fine. The buyouts will come in. There's still trade slots available because Korkmaz's contract can be moved because people know they only have to keep him for the rest of the year. So if there's a trade available, they can wiggle it. It's just who's out of it right now, who's willing to trade.
All right, give me the top five salaries for the Sixers right now, Tyron.
Right now,
top five salaries.
That's it. Butler one.
Nope.
No, is it Embiid one?
Embiid's one, $25 million.
What's it? Then that, what? JJ?
Butler's two, $20 million.
Then JJ.
Nope.
Who's third?
Starter. He's a starter.
Chandler?
He's one of your boys.
Chandler?
Wilson Chandler.
Okay.
Makes a little more than JJ.
Okay.
And fifth on the list.
What's Ben?
Markel Fultz.
Oh, yeah, because he was the first pick later. Yeah.
Imagine Ben Simmons looking at that guy. That dude makes more than me.
Drafted later, yeah.
And Kylie's gone. That dude makes more than you.
You know, I'm hearing there's rumors.
Maybe Markel would want to date me, Ben.
Yeah, come on. There's rumors, though, that if he makes the All-Star game, which it looks like he may, then Nike's going to do a whole Ben Simmons thing.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, at the break. Oh. And Embiid, Embiid's going to start. Mm-hmm. They'll do the draft. He's going to start, most likely. And apparently that's when the Under Armour shoe, Embiid's first shoe, may be coming then. But apparently it's a big Nike thing because he got the Rookie of the Year. Now he's an All-Star. It'll be a big Nike thing with Ben if he makes the All-Star.
Lowest salary on the team. What a bargain.
It's about Bolden?
TJ.
Oh, TJ?
Really? How about that?
Oh, yeah, and it was non-guaranteed, too. That is a bargain.
$1.6 million.
He's going to get a raise by someone else next year.
Look at that. TJ almost playing for free for you folks.
He's going to make like $8 million next year, TJ.
Dean in Mount Airy, you're on 97.5. What's up, Dean? How you doing?
Hey, my thing is, the thing with TJ, I mean, I like him as a person, and he's a good rah-rah player and stuff, but he's not on the level of Ben Simmons, and these guys saying that, it's crazy.
The guy was saying that the team is better off with Ben Simmons playing another position while TJ plays the point.
But here's the thing. Ben Simmons pushes the ball to the floor. Even sometimes he does turn the ball over. He has to work on that. But you need that energy from Ben, and especially in certain spots.
Mm-hmm. Listen, Ben can score by getting a basket anytime he wants.
Exactly.
TJ can't score either way.
You got to pray that TJ can go to the basket in the trenches against better teams.
TJ's good at going to the basket where he does that wrap around the basket thing, where he just kind of keeps dribbling the baseline and then comes out the other side.
Right, but but the only thing about it is he's not going to give you any kind of shot.
No, he's not going to score for you.
Right, so I wouldn't. I hate the people. You know what? With this channel, sometimes we rag on stars that we want to see microwave all stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't want to. I mean, it's the second year in the league, and rather than watch them develop, they want to shift them off somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And then he becomes an all-star, and he's like, well, I didn't think that... Come on, stop picking for all
of them. People don't appreciate what Ben Simmons actually does. I know they focus on what he doesn't do instead of the nine things that he does.
But the only guy, he's one of the only young guys that's 6'9", that can run the floor and do the things that he do.
He's the only guy in the league that has those skills. He's the only guy. There's no other guy except for maybe Giannis.
Right.
Or Giannis.
You got to go to the Greek Freak to even come up with that kind of skill.
Exactly.
Okay. So another thing, I like the energy that they're playing with, and I hope they can contain it. I mean, it's in some ways, it's hard to get a bench that can compare where we got these guys that we got, we have.
I was looking at the Pacers bench last night, like it's, as the game started, and my immediate reaction was, you know, the Pacers bench is probably better than the Sixers. They bring Sabonis off the bench. They bring Tyreek Evans, who gives you good minutes. He's not a great player, but he gives you something. And they bring, and Corey Joseph is a solid player off the bench, right? But, you know, McDermott's nothing. And, you know, so they stop at eight, you know? Yeah.
So Bonus, well, he's 15-10 off the bench. He's a yeah. way better player, quicker than I yeah, thought he was going to be.
Tremendous 4-5 substitution.
Yeah.
He's valuable. Carol in South Philly, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Carol.
Hi.
Hi, Carol.
I have two statements and a question.
Yes, ma'am.
First statement is, I'm watching Kansas City not for Andy Reid, for Mahomes and for Tyreek Hill, because they're so entertaining.
They are entertaining, but you can't ignore the fact that they're coached by the guy who was here for 14 years.
Well, yeah, it's true.
14 years, he was Philly Andy.
Yeah, I know, and he was Philly disappointing.
Yes, he was. But see, here's the thing. He's been going so long now that, like, I have no attachment whatsoever to the guy.
Well, I mean, I don't hate him.
If he wins, okay, good. I'm not going to root against him. I'm not going to root for him. He leaves me kind of, you know, in limbo.
Don't you think that Mahomes and Tyreek Hill are very entertaining?
Tremendously entertaining. They're fun to watch.
And the best part of it is that they would beat Brady.
I don't know. I think they're losing that game.
You think they're going to lose?
Mm-hmm.
You want to make a bet?
No. I don't want to make a bet. If I'm going to bet, I'm going to use my website, playsugarhouse.com.
Okay.
All right.
The other statement is that in my household, we like your show because we listen to it every day, but we also like Tyrone and Crystal.
Oh, you like the Sixers Outsider show?
Yeah, that's hysterically, but it's great.
Well, that's good, man. Thanks,
they
Carol.
Say whatever. They say whatever. It's entertaining.
Thanks for watching.
And I have the last part of the question.
Uh-huh.
And I know you probably won't want to answer it because that's all everybody is talking about. But why does Ben Simmons not take a shot from 15 feet out?
He has an aversion to it. That is something that he's going to have to conquer. I can't explain it. I've never seen anything like it, frankly. And it's the one thing that is maddening. But I'm so enamored with the kids' game in other areas that it doesn't, you know, bother me. It doesn't keep me up at night.
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
Yeah. You know, Carol, everybody wonders about why he won't shoot the ball. I cannot explain it. It's inexplicable that he won't shoot a basketball. Bill, Northeast Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill.
Yeah, hey, Mike.
What's
and I
on,
think
Bill?
That's what everybody's saying. They're not saying that McConnell's better than him, but what they're saying is this guy in the playoffs, he won't shoot, so it becomes a liability in the playoffs. You put him at a different position.
You put who in a different position?
Simmons.
Yeah, but you get... But what he gives you at that position is a lot more than he's going to give you at another position. He gives you an edge at that point guard position that nobody else in the league can match.
But he can't. But he just said he's afraid to shoot.
Well, but he is. But he still dominates the game.
No. You can't dominate the game if you don't shoot the ball.
Yes, well, he does it almost every night. He's a triple-double threat every night.
What happened in the Celtics series last year?
Okay, but that's last year. We shall see what happens this year.
Look, I know he's a great player.
What's the benefit of playing him at four, Bill? He's still not going to shoot it at four, and he's not going to have the ball in his hands and make dynamic plays.
Well, he can still bring it up.
You're cheating the abilities of a guy by putting him at four. He's got number one ability. Don't cheat it.
Here's the other problem I got. How do you wind up drafting a guy like Markel Fultz, when you know Simmons can't shoot, and then you get this guy, and he can't even play. He's scared to go on the floor. Like, what the hell? What goes on?
Because at the time, they didn't know he couldn't shoot. Because he did shoot. He averaged 23 points a game in college. He shot like 40% from the field.
Right,
Right, and now he's not even on
the team. Well, something happened. But when you're drafting a guy, you can't project that something like that's going to happen.
These guys get paid millions of dollars. Maybe they should be able to project it.
Well, that's always the, you guys get paid millions of dollars. Come on, man. When you're drafting a player, you draft on the ability that he has shown you. Markelle Fultz showed that kind of ability. All right. Ben at four. You got to put Ben at four. Well, what? Ben can't shoot it. Oh, put him at four then. Let's just take his complete game away from him and stick him at four. And we'll have TJ McConnell. That dazzling whirlwind to the hole point guard. They gave him the point guard.
Now you see why I go sparring with people on Sixers outsiders.
I hear you. 610-632-0975. Just appreciate the things he does at the one and hope that the shot will come. That's what you got to do. But you don't mess it up by saying, let's put him at four and put TJ at one. Mm-mm. Mike Mastelli show back after this.
Beating the Pacers, this Fanatics Sports Update is brought to you by Showtime. Welterweight superstars return to the ring when legendary 8-time champion Manny Pacquiao meets 4-time champ Adrian the Problem Broner. Two of the biggest stars in boxing, one explosive fight, Saturday, January 19th at 9, live on pay-per-view. Sixers beat the Pacers last night 120-96 for their third win in a row. Jimmy Butler had 27 points.
It beat with it to Butler on the perimeter, 7:45 to go. Jimmy launches for three, and that's good. He got the ball from Embiid on a dribble handoff and then went right around him and got a bit of a shield by Joel, and he shoots it out Bogdanović.
They'll play the Thunder tomorrow at home. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 3:30. Flyers will take the ice again tomorrow night against the Canadiens. You can hear that game on the Fanatic at 7. Brian Westbrook joins Mike in studio today from 4 to 5. Then Charles Barkley checks in at 4:10. And then you can hear our Big Green Giveaway keyword at 4 for your chance to win $1,000. Join Trey Thomas this Saturday from noon to 2 at Sprint by Arch Telecom on Concord Pike in Wilmington to pick up tickets to Mark and Trey's Super Bowl party on February 1st. Are your kids ready for cold and flu season? Infants and young children have a good chance of getting the flu. Check for fevers with the Exergen temporal scanner, the number one choice of pediatricians and the most accurate. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli
on 975 The Fanatic.
Are you
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Fanatic.
3:30, time to get a Twitter poll update from Miss Natalie. Of course, it's by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Miss Natalie, what is today's 3:30 Twitter poll update?
Today's update, Mike.
Hey, were you wondering? Were you?
No, I got snagged by. I found somebody wandering in the hallway. I had to show him where to go.
Who was it? Charles?
It might have been Brian Westbrook.
Oh, Brian Westbrook.
Yeah, I had to go find him. Okay. Yeah,
he's wandering the halls.
He was wandering the halls aimlessly.
He's trying to get some quality snacks from our vending machine.
You can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
All right.
Today's poll, over 1,200 votes so far. Which championship game are you looking forward to more? Rams or Saints, Patriots, Chiefs? 25% going Rams, Saints, 75% going Patriots, Chiefs.
Okay, sounds good. By the way, you know that dilemma that guy called about the recyclables?
Yeah.
I saw Law and Order last night. That started out with the trash man looking at the recyclables and saying, this guy always messes things up. He doesn't recycle the right things. We got, you know, it's time. Let's go knock on his door.
That's creepy.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is weird.
That was the same episode that Dr. Cusimano from Sopranos was the defense attorney for the defendant.
Oh, yeah.
So these guys, like, you know how it always starts with an innocuous little scene?
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like the trash guys found a dead body behind a...
Yeah,
you know, some bags of trash,
right.
Dumpster. That's how it started. They were wrongly recycling something.
Yeah.
You know, when I worked up there, what I found out was the most unrealistic thing about those episodes? They do the trash in Manhattan in the middle of the night. They do it at like midnight because there's so many cars and stuff.
Exactly.
So, but every time it's on Law and Order, it's the middle of the day, sunlight, and they just, oh, look, this body. But apparently they would barely see it because it's pitch black when they do it.
Yeah.
But you don't know that till you know.
Well, I think this might have been at dusk.
Oh, they found the body at dusk.
Cusimano, who was his Tony's neighbor, right?
Yeah.
Tyrone, what did Tony eventually call him? Cusimano took him out to play golf with his club buddies.
Yeah.
And they were all asking about mob stuff. And so, Tony knew he was being used. So he ripped Cusimano to Melfi in a session.
Yeah, but
and
I don't...
He called him a...
I don't know.
He's a Wonder Bread Italian.
That's a good line.
It is. Rick and King of Prussia. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rick.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Rick?
How's it going?
Good.
So, what do you think about this? Drafting a running back in the first round.
I'm sorry?
Drafting a running back in the first round.
You can. You can do that. The running backs, I looked at some mock drafts. There wasn't really a highly rated running back in the first round. So, it's heavy in defensive linemen. That's where it's really heavy.
What I was thinking was, and I talked to my buddies, if we take a running back, we would help out the quarterback and he doesn't get hurt. The plays would be different. I think our defense was fine. I know we need some signings and stuff, but I think the running back would be the number one priority.
Yeah, but you got to get a good running back. You can't just grab it for a running back. If there aren't any that are rated that highly to go in the first round, it's probably foolish to draft a running back in the first round. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we don't have any.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying, you can get one in the second round and not waste your first round pick. And you
so
can
you're
get
take that chance, though. What if the running back's gone in the second round?
Well, there's not like a major running back that you look at and go, you have to have. Like, there's two kids from Alabama that you can draft. There's going to be a guy available in the second round. They're not all going to be gone in the second round. You can get a running back in the second round.
All right. So my second point is,
mm-hmm.
I'm confused about this Wentz Foles thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where I'm at. All the McNabb years, we did really well. We went to 5 NFC Championship game. We went to the Super Bowl and we didn't win it.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is, what if Wentz do the same thing and we let Foles go and he went to Super Bowl somewhere else?
Well, why are you torturing yourself with something that's not
because
a tangible thought?
He won something for us and I think he could do it again. I know the Eagles are not going to keep him, but it's just something
why in your mind... Do you favor Foles doing it again instead of Wentz being capable of doing the same thing?
Because I'd rather have someone that won it, and I suppose the one who's...
Yeah, but it was only a temporary basis. He didn't play a full season.
Right, but...
So you're counting on a guy who didn't play a full season, and you're projecting that he would be able to do that, playing a full season and also getting through the playoffs. That's right, dangerous.
My thing is, in 10 years... Are we going to talk about Wentz being like McNabb, great numbers and all, Hall of Famer?
Well, I don't know. I don't have any idea about that. I mean, suppose Foles thinks is a starter next year. Like, it could very easily happen, just as what you're saying is going to happen. Like, you're counting on Foles. As soon as Foles takes a snap, he's going to be great, and he's going to take it to another Super Bowl, and he's going to play all 16 games. You don't know that.
But do you want 10 years of McNabb again, though? That's my whole point.
So you know enough right now to think that Wentz is not going to succeed?
I just know that Foles won it. That's what I know.
Yeah. But again, you're not measuring everything. It's a short-sighted type of thing. You're measuring a temporary window against a sliding door.
Yeah.
The sliding door may be the more accurate way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Nick was a temp. He was a very successful temp. But that doesn't mean he could be a full.
Right, and the other part is McNabb, he had his failures.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave you a chance every year. Now, I'm not saying that he was good enough. He wasn't, but he gave you a chance every year.
Mm-hmm.
If for 10 straight years going from next year on, Carson Wentz put you in the mix every single year, I believe with the right pieces around him and the right coaching staff, he can win a Super Bowl. If you told me, if you did the same thing with Nick Foles, I personally, if you started from week one, don't believe he would give you a chance to win another one over the next 10 years. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, you see, the wrongness of that premise was the other guy would be incapable of winning a Super Bowl.
Right.
You don't have any frame of reference to say that. Like, you can't, like, right now in his young career, say, you know, Carson Wentz is never going to win. You don't know that. And he's a franchise quarterback talent, so he's more likely to have a chance to do that than maybe even Nick Foles would. All right, let's go Jim in Washington Township. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jim?
What's up, Mike?
Great. How you doing, buddy?
All right. When I started listening, you were talking about the Harper Machado thing.
Mm-hmm.
So everything I'm reading says that that's the shoe that they're waiting to drop before they do anything else now. So my question is, don't you expect them to get some kind of, you know, pitcher, some kind of, you know, solid number two after they get whoever they get to contend with the Brave or the...
There is no solid number two. Who's the solid number two? The pitchers are gone. Dallas Keuchel is the best of the lot that's out there. He's not a solid number two. He's like a middle rotation guy at this point. He throws 90 miles an hour.
Oh, I mean, even them signing him, that would make you feel more comfortable.
Yeah, well, they can still sign him whether they sign Machado or not.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I'm hopeful for. They look, I'm the same as you. I want Harper because I think, you know, they can put Franco in there and get mm-hmm. another pitcher and contend for the East.
Mm-hmm.
But just getting one of them, I mean, as much of a buildup as there was. Now, I know they're you know, you want them number one, number two, you want both of them, all that. But just getting one of them going into this upcoming season, you think that they can contend for the East?
They're on the, yeah, they, I think they can. Actually, I think if you got Harper, it makes you as good as the Atlanta Braves. Now, it would help if they got another pitcher, and Keuchel seems like a reasonable get for them to do it because they have the money to do it. So I wouldn't expect that they would stop just with one of the guys.
Yeah, that's what I'm hopeful for. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I would like to see them get a pitcher, and I would be more confident going forward.
Yeah, no, I get it, but still, I mean, they're considerably better when you put that guy in the lineup. So, you know, don't shortchange it. I think you're thinking they're still going to be short, and you might be right, but it's still, like, measures them against the good teams in that division. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It is the Mike Missanelli Show. 4 o'clock hour, big 4 o'clock hour. Brian Westbrook in the house will join us from 4 to 5. And at 4:10, Charles Barkley will climb on and hang out with us, which should be festive and fun. 610-622-0975 is how you get in. There's one thing that was bugging me that was talked about on the midday show today, and it was the concept of this new vote thing in baseball. This is why I think this manager thing is so overrated. Because there's a way to play baseball and there's a way not to. This is a concept of the opener, where you put your relief pitcher in to start the game, get three outs. We saw it in the playoffs, actually. The Oakland A's tried to do it, right? And then your starter can like carry on through the rest of the game. Now, there are things that make sense to me and there are things that don't make any sense to me. And that's one of them. Why would you start a game with a relief pitcher who does not have as good a stuff as your starting pitcher? Because the relief pitcher you're using can't be your eighth inning guy. It can't be your ninth inning guy. It's got to be a middle relief guy anyway. And your middle relief guy doesn't have as good a stuff as your starter. So why would that make any sense? It's one of the things that these nouveau managers try to outsmart themselves with. And it makes no sense at all, just like it makes no sense to have the pitcher hit eighth.
Tampa did it a lot last season, mm-hmm. and they had some success. But the that was because when they entered the season, you know they don't like to spend any money.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have enough starters. So the manager was trying to manage his way through a game. And because he had a little bit of success, people then decide who actually have starters to copy him. He did that out of necessity in games because to start the season, there was one point where he only had three starters. So he was trying to get through games.
The theory is it's easier for a relief pitcher to get three outs than it is for your starting pitcher who is supposed to be your starting pitcher. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Now, maybe I'm a numbskull. And I know that I'm a hard-headed baseball guy who holds fast to certain traditions, but it doesn't make any sense to me. And Gabe Kapler apparently was talking about it the other day, right?
Yeah, but he didn't love it. I have his comments.
Can we hear Gabe talk about his meeting with Bryce Harper? Can we hear Gabe? Let's hear Gabe and how they bonded over certain things.
We bonded over stuff like, you know, training. I think we bonded over food. He loves food, and Philadelphia has an incredible food scene, among the best in the country, if you ask me. And so, yeah, I think we just hit it off. He's an easy guy to talk to.
Right, there you go. Hit it off. A lot of people say, well, they're not going to come because of this idiot. They hit it off.
Yeah, they also talked about some individual plays during the year. He went on for a little while.
Let me ask you a question. How do you not hit it off in a meeting like that? Like, you're going out to see the dude. What are you going to do? You going to sit there and argue with him? Like, you're going to kiss his ass to the point where you leave lipstick marks.
You know,
we bonded. You know, yeah, of course you're going to bond.
See, Mike, I feel like you and I, our personalities, there's a chance that you and I, somebody could try to woo us. And either one of us could walk away from the meeting not liking the person. First of all, I know for a fact that's happened with you. Where a person was supposed to be getting your good graces, and you walked away and you thought the guy was a phony and you didn't like it.
Here's the difference. The people that are coming to his house are coming with an offer over $300 million.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so right away that'll disarm me. Now, if you think they're going to say anything that's going to get under his skin, you're going to like, we bonded. Well, of course you bonded. It's an ass-kissing session. You got what he wants. He's got what you want.
But
he bonded over the food scene in Philadelphia.
Well, but hold on. He's a young guy. So 26 years old.
Uh-huh.
25, 26. So he could be into video games, for example, uh-huh. that age. He wasn't.
Yeah.
And maybe sometimes, they did have something in common. Because you don't play video games. So if you were going to woo some 25-year-old, if he was into Fortnite, you guys would not be something you had in common. But if you started talking about movies, and he was into those movies, mm-hmm. that would be legitimate.
Well, and he's selling the city, too.
Yeah. And he could say, I don't like the food. You know,
Philly's just cheesesteaks.
Yeah, I don't care about food.
Not so, Bryce.
He's already engaged or married, that guy.
He's married. He's not married, isn't he, Bryce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
Gabe can't go out with him, carousing.
Yeah, Gabe doesn't carouse.
Well, yeah, Gabe's a single man now.
You know what's funny? He is, and he's been in Fishtown all summer, all winter, I mean.
Have you seen him that?
I spotted him out once.
Did you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't bother him.
Well, who was he with?
By himself.
Yeah, he rolled solo. He showed up at somebody's, you know, the axe throwing that they do now?
Uh-huh.
He showed up, according to social media, they had a video. He showed up at somebody's axe throwing, too.
So he stayed in Fishtown all winter?
Yeah, because he wanted to, you know how he couldn't connect with us. He wanted to get the local feel so that he would be a better communicator.
Oh, all right.
So
good for him. I'm glad they bonded. Jerry in Hatboro, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerry.
Good afternoon, everybody.
What's up, Jer?
If Andy Reid was attacked by a pack of wild dogs, I would root for the dogs.
Oh, stop. You don't have to go that far.
I would.
Well, you don't have to hate that guy. He didn't do anything for you to hate him.
You know what? It's like dating a girl for 14 years and never getting to the promised land, and every week they come up with a different excuse as to why not. And I'm going age.
What's your definition of the promised land?
What do you think?
Well, you would date somebody for 14 years and...
Not me. No, I don't want to have any room around.
Who on earth would date somebody for 14 years without a sexual act?
City of Philadelphia with Andy Reid.
All right, man. Well, whatever. That's the worst analogy I've ever heard. Maurice in Allentown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Maurice.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, Maurice?
Ain't nothing. So I just wanted to touch on this Sixers thing. First of all, people talking about not starting Ben. Look, they're nuts.
They're saying start him at the four.
Yeah, look, a point guard, everybody seems to forget, point guard usually isn't your best shooter. People are enamored by Steph Curry and the rest of these guys. You got a guy like Jason Kidd, who was a Hall of Famer, who couldn't shoot a lick.
Yeah, but then he turned into a good shooter. So that's the thing. You have to shoot the ball. You can't not shoot the ball. So don't take him off the hook totally.
No, understood. But he's going to grow into that. The fact that he can drive to the hole instead of a point guard just tossing it up, doing what he can do. And the assists, the rebounds, people are forgetting about that stuff.
Yeah, the stuff he does is so enamoring. It's like not even worth, you know. I mean, he just blows your way every night with stuff he does.
Yes, it does. And then the fact is, they just need, I mean, you got so many people who are still saying they need shooting. I don't want to hear it anymore. These guys got to stop turning the ball over. You're watching even Joel Embiid, who's our star player, who's literally passing to nobody right out of bounds. He can't be doing that stuff.
He's been lazy with his passes. But see, the fact that Ben doesn't shoot enhances his turnovers because he's always trying to then get to the basket. When you get to the basket, there's a lot of hands in the way there. So that's what I'm saying. That would be one way to cut down the turnovers if you pull up, hit a medium-range jump shot.
You know what? I give that to you. And just one last thing. So, Brett Brown, it's been driving me crazy watching these games, watching the team give up 20 and 30-point leads. It was good to see yesterday. But I got a question. Is the organization tied on Brett Brown? And he's our coach now. I'm with him. But they fall to a fifth seed, don't do something. I mean, at what point are we doing Mark Jackson?
Well, if they lose in the first round, he's got no chance to keep his job.
If he loses
in the second round, it might be his job might be in jeopardy. To be honest with you,
I hope so because they have the players there. The bench. I like your call about Courtney Lee. Getting a veteran to come off the bench would be huge.
Yeah, they need more than Courtney Lee, though. They need a big as well to come off the bench. Take a break. Brian Westbrook is poised. He's sitting relaxing on the sofa. He's chilling out with social media.
You know, it's going to be interesting. He always says something crazy during his hour.
He looks chill today, though.
He'll still say something.
Get the boots on.
Weather.
Yeah, I get the boots. I'm wearing the boots.
Yeah, I saw you with the boots, too.
I get the boots.
Yeah.
I got the North Faces on today.
Look at that. You don't have Timberlands?
No, I got North Face.
Oh.
It was snowy. I had to walk through snow.
Mm. I only use old Timbs in the snow. I don't like to wear fresh Timbs in the weather.
Yeah. I think Brian's got fresh.
I have my snow boots on, too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Brian Westbrook next. Charles Barkley at 410 and 5K a day at 4 o'clock. We may give away $1,000 in 5 minutes right here on 97.5 Fanatic.
Beating the Pacers. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for workers. If you or someone you know has been injured at work, visit martinlaworkerscomp.com now. Sixers beat the Pacers last night 120-96 for their third win in a row. Joel Embiid had 22 points.
One dribble back to Embiid. Embiid banks it. Miles Turner's got two fouls. Joel going right at him. Spin move right hand. Bank shot good. He's much too good. He's an all-star. He's going to work on Miles Turner. Embiid now at 9.
They'll play the Thunder tomorrow at home. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 3:30. Flyers will take the ice again tomorrow night against the Canadiens. You can hear that game on the Fanatic at 7. Brian Westbrook joins Mike in studio today from 4 to 5. Then Charles Barkley checks in with us at 4:10. Our Big Green giveaway keyword is coming up next at 4 for your chance to win $1,000. Join Trey Thomas this Saturday from noon to 2 at Sprint by Arch Telecom on Concord Pike in Wilmington to pick up tickets for Mark and Trey's Super Hole Party on February 1st. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.